Good morning and welcome. The annual meeting of St. James Episcopal Church has been called to order. Let us pray. God of the seasons, another year has come and gone, and once again we gather for the annual meeting of this congregation. To this place we bring all the celebrations and hardships, the joys and the sorrows of the past 12 months. May your spirit move in our hearts, opening them to hear what each of us has to offer, bringing light to both possibilities and realities, drawing us always to consider what you would have us to be and do in this time and place. In this time together, we celebrate the many gifts we all have to offer. Help us offer what we can to your service and your glory, mindful of the great gifts we have been given in so many ways throughout our lives. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the opening hymn. Oh, sorry. No. Please be seated as I call up the nominating committee. I know, I was looking at too many pieces of paper. Second verse, same as the first.
Nominations for the 2019 annual meeting of St. James Episcopal Church are now open. The candidate for junior warden is Tom Peach. For vestry, there are three openings and three candidates: Joan Rogerson for re-election, Greg Learn for re-election, and Charlie Skinner. Are there any nominations from the floor? Can we have a motion to close the nomination for vestry? Second? All in favor? Opposed? Abstained? Thank you. There are currently no nominations for alternate to deanery delegate. Are there nominations from the floor for alternate to deanery delegate? Can we have a motion to close the nominations for alternate to deanery delegate? So moved. All favor? Opposed? Abstained? Thank you. As there are no new nominations, can we have a motion to vote for acclamation? Second? All in favor? Opposed? Abstained? Thank you.
Thank you. And now, will you please stand for the opening hymn?
Thank you.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen, lifting up their hands, when they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 19 can be found on the insert of your bulletin, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the firmament shows his handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another.
And one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language,
and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands. In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun.
It comes forth like fire
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to
the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart.
The command of the Lord is
clear, and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold.
Sweeter far than honey.
By them also is your servant enlightened. Who can tell how often he offends? Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church of apostles, the second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread out through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and as it was his custom, he stood up to read, and a scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover the sight of the blind. So let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the back of the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This is our annual meeting and the rector's report. Copies of this will be available for you if you wish at the back of the sanctuary after the service. Dear friends in Christ, another year has passed and it's hard to know even where to begin. I think of the people hearing from Nehemiah, the people who lived in exile and then are coming home and rebuilding their lives. We hear today that all the people of Israel have gathered in the square near the water gate, and that they told the scribe and priest Ezra to bring the book of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. They gathered to hear the law, and with them also were the priests and the Levites to hear them with understanding. When he began to read, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, and all the people replied, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed their heads with their faces to the ground. Ezra read the scriptures to them from early morning until midday. When they had finished reading, Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." And they sent them on their way to feast and rejoice. Several thoughts immediately came to mind as I was thinking about this reading in the year that has passed. First of all, it reminds us that we gather together in a place that is open to all. You see, the Watergate was open to everyone, all the peoples, including women and the sick and children and the outsiders. I think that's one of the things that we strive for here at St. James, is to worship together. I also think about the fact that the people of Israel had been in exile, had been in a place where they didn't come together to worship in their holy city, and did not hear the word of God read or interpreted to them. We are so blessed to be able to gather together, to hear the word of God, and to celebrate each holy day together. The reading from Corinthians also struck me as we are one body. And not just us, but connected to all Episcopalians and to all Christians throughout the world. We are baptized into the one Spirit and are given the gifts of apostles and prophets and teachers and deeds of power and gifts of healing, and the list goes on and on. Last night at the Italian dinner, we saw all these gifts and more. It's a joy to note the many gifts that are here and each one of us has received and offers to others. Some are cooks, some set up, some clean up, some chop and slice and dice, some serve, some greet, some bring their friends and share fellowship, the fellowship that we cherish here at St. James. We share these gifts not just with each other, but with the wider community, demonstrating the power of the Spirit and the abundance of God's bounty. I'm always delighted that although we are of many minds, opinions, experiences, beliefs, priorities and needs, we work well together and share a common vision, St. James' vision, which is God asks us to make his love visible in our lives and community. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. What seemed to resonate most with me this year was the gospel. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And as he was in his hometown, he went to the synagogue and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus rolled up the scroll and said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." As this is the season of Epiphany, it's just one more way that Jesus is manifesting as the Messiah, the Savior, although he is just beginning his ministry and others don't yet understand. What I understand is when we look at the annual meeting report, we did a whole lot of things this year. We celebrated with our weekly Sunday worship and the Thursday Healing Eucharist. We went to Brookdale once a month and added the Taylor Center. We joined with other churches in this community for Lent and the Baccalaureate and Thanksgiving. And we added worship in the park with our neighbors and friends. We invited people to take a look at St. James during the art show, the craft show, and the cookie walk. We also invited people to come for Creeds and Creating, where we heard the stories of our faith through story, song, dance, drama, and art. We came together and purchased an amazing amount of Book of Common Prayer and new hymnals to update our books that were falling apart and to be more welcoming to others. We held our first blessing of the animals on St. Francis Day and drew dogs and other animals from around the neighborhood. But what struck me most about this reading and about St. James this year is mission. Jesus proclaims that the scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing, that he has been sent to proclaim release to the captives, sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. If you look at our mission numbers, you will see how much we have offered locally, nationally, and internationally to proclaim the good news to all who are in need. Our giving in the amount of $12,651 doesn't include the diocesan apportionment of $8,255. Did you know that more than 45% of what we give to the diocese directly goes to mission as well? More than just the cash, we have reached out not only with food to the pantry, backpacks to school children, personal care products, Christmas gifts to children in need, socks for veterans, our donation to the Vacation Bible School, healthy heart hats for newborns, but we have reached out to others with good news. We touched people in our community and around the world with our love, our prayers, and with tangible gifts that will make a difference in their lives. The abundance and outpouring of gifts of this community speaks to our faith and generosity. I can't possibly name everything we have done this year. I know that the annual meeting report doesn't even scratch the surface with everything we have done and are doing. I'm amazed at the number of people every week donating their gifts to keep St. James running smoothly. I would like to take a moment to thank everyone who sets foot in here each week. I can't list you all by name because I know I would leave some out. We have cleaners and the altar guild and those who make sure that bats are removed and the heat is on and that the burnt light bulbs are replaced as well as the paper products around the facility. We give thanks for those who shovel, especially last week, and those who maintain the lawn and the garden beds. We have the choir along with Tom and Carol and Ellie. We have acolytes and readers and greeters and Sunday school teachers and those who create coffee hour. We have those who count the money and others who deposit the money and others who keep track of the money. We have some who pray every day. And like I said, the list goes on and on. But I would like to pause and thank Jim Grillo for his faithful service as senior warden. Thank you. And now he can step away for a minute. A minute. And there are so many more who contribute so we can joyfully worship every week. This upcoming year, we have big plans. Within the next few weeks, we hope to have the parish hall painted thanks to the Taylor Grant, and finally finding a licensed and available painter. We will continue to do the good work God has called us to do. Three of us will be attending the College for Congregational Development 4 weekends this year to continue to learn and explore the best practices available in the Episcopal Church. We're going to explore how to continue to grow and build us and this community and this congregation. I will take a sabbatical to refresh and renew, and you will have the opportunity to explore new ways of leadership and pastoral care. In closing, 2018 has been an amazing year, and I believe it could only happen because of the deep faith we share, the way we use our God-given gifts, and our willingness to love and grow in Christ. Let us end with the collect for today. Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and proclaim the words of our faith as written in the Nicene Creed on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people can be found on page 392 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 392, Form 6. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop, Michael, our bishop, Prince, for Lynn and Gary, our priests, and all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins.
No.
Things done and not done. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live spiritually in newness of life. To the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. So as it is the annual meeting, after the final hymn, we're going to have the treasurer's report and discussion, and the meeting won't last horribly long, but it will go after, and then we'll have the dismissal. So I do invite you to stay where you are after the closing hymn. If you need to leave, then please leave. But if not, please wait. So we were supposed to have a new prayer list starting today. But as we only had three names, I felt a little bit bad about that. But if all we need is three names, that's a great way to start a new list. So the new list will be in next week. If you have names, please email me, call me, leave a note on my desk, leave a note in the offertory plate. The Diocese of Rochester and St. Luke and St. Simon Cyrene are having a celebration next Saturday for Absalom Jones. Absalom Jones was the first black man to be ordained a priest in the Episcopal Church. It was the AME Church at that time, but in the Episcopal Church. St. Luke and St. Simon Cyrene, about 20 years ago, were two parishes in Rochester that were small and fading. One was a white congregation, one was a black congregation. They decided to come together, and so they worshiped together and prayerfully discerned over a five-year period which building they were going to sell and did. But they want to invite you to come to the celebration that they're having up for Absalom Jones. There's flyers in the back and downstairs, and they're going to have a potluck afterward, and they ask you to bring food that reflects your ethnic heritage if you come to the potluck. So it ought to be interesting. Italian dinner. Thank you, Jim and Karen and everybody else who helped. I think there's, yes. ...121 people, more than ever before, but there's still lasagna left. And so we're selling the lasagna. Yay. Are there other announcements? Aw, thank you.
And to follow up with him, we have a special coffee hour.
Please stay. Or more for me.
I'm going to have to go to the gym, but not today because it's... Anyway, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Prayer B continues on page 367 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 367. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country, where with James and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Communion prayer is found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and
the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Be seated. Hopefully you got your annual meeting report and had an opportunity to read through it. I did try to get it to you last week, even though we didn't meet here. If you've looked at the minutes, are there any corrections, additions, deletions from the minutes, which are the last page of the annual meeting report? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstain? Thank you. And now, Karen, would you present the treasurer's report?
Good morning. The treasurer's report has all the numbers on the front. And I guess as I look over the past year for 2018 financially and represent what the vestry would like you to take a look at and peruse, I have to say we're blessed. We are so blessed in so many areas, but my job is to talk to you about the finances. And as we go through here, please feel free to raise any questions, but I'll try to go as quickly as possible, but I'd be happy to pause if you have concerns. So in the first column is what we actually took in and what we spent in 2018. It says January through December. And then the second column is what we had planned for 2018. And the third column is what we have approved as the budget for 2019. So the first section is income, and this gives us a clear glimpse of how blessed we really are. As you look at what we took in and what we had projected we would take in, we went over. And I think I've been doing this 11 years, and I've never seen that happen. So seriously blessed. We are very, very blessed. There's one significant event that took place that will affect everything you see in the finances, and that was that in February of last year when we filed our diocesan report, we were told that the diocese would no longer allow us to borrow from ourselves as we had done for years and had permission from the diocese, but they had changed the rules and we had been out of compliance for a couple of years, but they asked us to come into compliance. So in March, we had to change the way that we account for much of our funds, and many of you were asked to consider changing what you pledged into restricted that is not subject to apportionment into the regular account, and many of you did that, and that's why you see a large increase in what we projected as pledge and what we took in as pledge. That's one of the reasons I think we see that big increase, because there's a 28% increase in the amount that we pledged for 2019, but there's a 14% amount increase in actually what was projected to be taken in pledges, and that's a 14% increase in what we took in pledges. But I think a large number of that is because you were asked to switch from pledging to the restricted account back into the regular account for our operating. And I think the other significant thing is that we only borrowed $7,000 last year. I shouldn't say borrowed. It says transfer from savings. I'm so inclined to say borrowed because we did that for so many years. But we had to change that line item on our financial statements to transfer from savings instead of borrowed from savings. So the transfer from savings was $7,000 last year. And again, in the number of years that I've been doing this, that's the lowest amount we've ever taken from savings. We averaged, the last 4 years that I looked at, we averaged $15,000. So that is significant. So any questions in the income section? As you can see, we're projecting that we will have income of $128,365. That's actually a 3.3% increase over what we actually took in this year, but a 6.3% increase from the budget last year to the budget this year. The next section is our operating expenses, starting with the diocesan apportionment, which we essentially don't have any control over. The diocese tells us what we owe, so that's $8,502 for 2019. And then the next section are just general operating expenses, and you can see we've had some substantial increases. I'd be happy to talk about those if anyone has concerns. We had increases every year. We've had increases in insurance, but there are a couple of others. Any questions? So I'll flip to the second page of that. That's, I believe, on the back of what you have. And that's the last page of the regular account where we have all of our operating expenses. These are the salary and related costs, and you can see where we've had some increases, and many of those are linked. If we give an increase in a salary, for example, then we have to increase FICA or SECA, pension, those kinds of things. So those are pretty well linked. The one thing I neglected to put on the bottom of the regular account is what we ended up with on December 31st with cash in the regular account. I copied before I put that on there. We actually ended up in the regular account with $27,1868. That number is on the last page if you're concerned about not having it there. Any questions on the regular account? Then the next page is the annual report from the restricted account. That's where we have money coming in and being paid out for things that you tell us to spend money on, or you give money for a certain cause and we spend it on that. And there, again, were significant changes because of the way we had to account for certain things according to diocesan regulations. So in total, that account is actually down considerably. If you were, I don't know if any of you go back and look, but it's down considerably because we actually transferred a large portion from that account that we used to borrow from into a savings account that we just take money out of when we have to take money out for expenses. So you'll see that money elsewhere on the last page, but it's not on this page as it has been in the past. You should know the money that we raise for dinners goes into that restricted account. It goes into the evangelism account, and 30% of that goes into mission. So if you're contributing at all to the dinners that we have for fundraisers, that's where your money's being put there. So any questions on that account? And the last page is your statement of assets of all of our financial holdings. That restricted account is reiterated there. The second line is the regular checking account. Then our savings account that we take money from when we need to pay our expenses. That did see a significant increase because we transferred that other account that we used to borrow from into there. You might want to know, I know some of you watch this probably much better than I do, but our investments are down as of December 31st, as they were for probably most of us, even from November, from our November financial statement to the end of the year, they were down considerably. So our financial holdings were $551,266.23 at the end of 2018. Even with those declines in our investments, we still saw a 4% increase overall. So, again, we are blessed. So if you have any questions on any of those numbers, I'd be happy to entertain them. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'd like to thank Karen for the work that she does throughout the year, keeping our budgets perfect. May I have a motion to accept the report and our 2019 budget? Second? Leah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstain? Thank you. Is there any response to the printed reports, the annual meeting report? Questions, comments? Hearing none. Is there anything else for the good of the order? I love this. Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? That was George. Is it a motion? Yes, okay.
No,
it's a comment.
One other thing. Barbara and I have been volunteering with the Institute of Human Services on behalf of St. James Church for about 17 years. I've been a report, partial report, for our coordinator that said this institute is the men county that is transporting people to medical, legal,
thank you. Now is there a motion to adjourn the meeting? Connie, and a second. Oh, lots of seconds. I think Donna was the first. All in favor? Any opposed or abstain? Gary?
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.